everyone. This is Yusuf.
And this is Genoa. And this is
In-Flight Entertainment, the Throwback Thursday episode. Hello, all. Hope everyone is ready and ready to get your feathers ruffled with this old school movie called Howard. Actually, that song was pretty catchy.
I feel like that song may have been on the radio some.
Yeah.
Maybe that. So yeah. I have revisionist childhood memories of that movie being good or not being bad.
Yeah. But now we're grown.
But now we're grown. And yeah. I went back and watched it with clear brain and oh, boy. So for those of you that aren't familiar with Howard the Duck, it is a... it's based on a Marvel comic, and the movie is about a sarcastic humanoid duck that is pulled from his homeworld to Earth, where he must stop a hellish alien invasion with the help of a nerdy scientist and a cute, struggling female rock singer who fancies him. So the cute, nerdy scientist is Tim Robbins, and the rock chick is Leah Thompson. Yeah.
A.K.A. Lorraine Baines McFly, A.K.A. Marty's mother.
Right.
Back to the Future series.
And so the comic book was actually, because after watching the movie again last night, I had to, I wanted to see, like, why on earth would anyone ever decide to make this into a movie? And just reading a little bit on the Wikipedia page, I guess... it makes sense that you might want to make a movie because the comics generally are social satires and parodies of things happening in the real world. So I guess if you're a director, writer, that might be an interesting spin on things. But
now, does it say anywhere that this was George Lucas' favorite comic book? I'm just curious because
it does not say that on the Wikipedia page.
Okay,
we're gonna look over to Chrissy, our fact checker.
But I'm
and Chrissy, anything on there? She's checking.
Okay,
we'll get back to that.
I'm trying to wrap my head around George Lucas coming off the success of Star Wars, and he have this name now of the George Lucas of Star Wars fame, make this decision to say, hey, I want to be executive producer of this movie called Howard the Duck.
Right.
I'm trying to find the dots connected with him, his intentions to want to put resources and, like, put his name behind a movie like this.
Yeah, so this movie came out in 86, so that was after all three Star Wars had come out.
Okay, fact checker.
I don't know if it's his favorite movie, but it says that it originally was supposed to be an animated film, and given the fact that we just discussed about Pixar, maybe he was going to use his newly created computer animation studio
to produce Howard the Duck.
Yeah, okay. But it somehow became a live action.
Interesting.
So
I'll keep looking.
So for those folks that don't know the history of Pixar, Lucas was going to start that. He lost all of his... or he was starting an animation studio before DreamWorks. And he lost all of his money on Howard the Duck.
Howard the Duck.
And sold the animation studio to Steve Jobs, who then turned it into Pixar.
Yep.
And eventually, Lucas went and partnered with a couple other folks and made DreamWorks, where they did some other animation-type things.
Yeah. And the rest, as they say, is history.
Right, but getting back to the Howard the Duck.
Okay, before we move forward, I have to drop a little bit of some behind the scenes, folks, as far as the production. Hold on, let me see. Okay, sorry, go ahead. I'll figure it out.
One other fact is it's technically considered the first movie that kicked off the MCU universe.
Boom. Oh, man, we're making all the dots connect this week. That's awesome.
What a horrible movie to start the MCU universe. I mean, ooh, sorry.
Oh, yeah, technically it was the first one that Marvel made.
Wow. That's crazy. See?
Made from a Marvel.
Okay, I want to give you guys a little bit on the associate producer of this movie. His name is Ian Bryce. Ian Bryce, he's known for, in the production realm, he worked on Saving Private Ryan, Almost Famous, The First Spider-Man, 2002 Tobey Maguire film, World War Z, all the Transformers film, the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but Pain and Gain, Hancock, and Hold Your Breath, Boys and Girls. Ewoks, The Battle for Endor.
Okay, so he likes the mindless, fun, brain candy type movies.
Yes.
Except for Saving Private
Ryan. Wow, yeah. So I guess you have to start somewhere.
I mean, good for him. For, I mean, yes, we all have to start somewhere. But Howard the Duck. I mean, so for those of you that haven't really seen the movie, it starts out with you get a glimpse into this other world that's almost a mirror image of Earth. But it's all populated by ducks that are...
Duck men. Right. People. Yeah.
Humanoid.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And, like, there's even a scene where someone has a Raiders of the Lost Ark poster up on their wall, but instead it's...
Breeders of the Lost Stork.
Oh.
That's the name of the poster. And also, he had a Splash Dance poster that was supposed to be Flash Dance. Right. That was, and Rolling Egg magazine that was supposed to, in our world, is Rolling Stone magazine, but it had a Rolling Egg magazine. You're right. So the opening sequence, we see him unwinding after a day at work.
Right, this Howard dude.
Yeah, the Howard dude. He watches TV, flips the channel, and all that. He's
sitting in his lounger.
Right.
And then all of a sudden,
not before he was looking at his new issue of Play Duck magazine, remember? Because he had.
I must have looked away from the screen during that scene.
Yeah, smart. So when that happened, so all of a sudden the beam shoots on top of him. Boom. And he's whisked out of his apartment and out of the building and into the sky.
Into space. And then through the universe and gets thrown into this alley in Cleveland.
You know, it's funny. I watched Masters of the Universe like a couple weeks ago, and I swear some of the like the alleys or the AKA sets looked exactly like the alleys that He-Man was running through in Masters of the Universe. I think he's like recycled sets from all these old like 80s movies.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, I'm sure. I mean, Lucas spent $37 million to create this and made no money off of it. He probably had to rent those sets out to other people.
True. Yeah. So he crash lands. He runs away from crazy thugs, biker gangs, all that stuff. Right near this club where Beverly and the Cherry Bombs, that was the group name.
Yeah, Cherry Bombs.
Playing their gig.
Right. It's supposed to be like this biker punk band or bar.
Yeah.
And they're like.
Like the. Think of Jim and the Holograms.
Totally. Yes, it's totally Jim and the Holograms.
And like just crazy biker boy. Yeah. I was waiting for Synergy to like just kind of come on.
And
scene
the music is so bad. It's so, so, so bad. Yeah. I'm actually surprised that that some of these people actually still include this on their IMDb because, like, I know Leah Thompson was the star, quote unquote, the star besides Howard the Duck of the movie, but boy,
wow, yeah, she took a leap. Now this was. Wow, this was after Back to the Future.
Yeah.
So, whoa. So she was like, hey, let me just stay in this whole crazy sci-fi shtick.
Well, it must have just been that, like, Lucas had just done the Star Wars things and convinced her that this would be as big as those. And
I mean, in her defense, I would, yeah, of course, if I knew Lucas was attached to a movie like this, I'll be like, okay, why not? And plus, she was in Back to the Future, which was a hit. You know, Robert Zemeckis film.
Well, yeah. So she did Back to the Future in 85, Space Camp in 86. Yes.
So she came out with two movies that year?
Well, she also had Going Undercover in 85, right after Back to the Future. and then Howard the Duck after Space Camp. But she followed Space Camp with Some Kind of Wonderful, which is a fantastic movie.
Amanda Jones. yeah. Okay, so Howard the Duck is hiding in a trash can away from the crazy biker gang when he overhears Beverly
being basically sexually she's being attacked and potentially it could easily turn into a rape scene if this was a rated R movie. It's PG-13.
Oh, it's PG-13.
And then Howard the Duck jumps out of a trash can
with his quack foo.
Yeah, that's his special.
Yeah, he knows quack foo.
Yeah, that's his special power.
Yeah, this is quack foo. So he quack foos the thugs away.
Right, and Beverly falls in love with him based on this first interaction. It's ridiculous, guys.
They did save her.
She fought just as much as he did.
But she didn't know quack foo. I mean, that was the missing ingredient of this whole scenario, right?
So she invites him home to stay with her because he has no place to live. And I just... the whole night, the first night, he just falls asleep in bed and nothing happens. But the second night, she's stripping right in front of him and walking around in her little negligee and underwear. And he's like, I could stay here on Earth for humans like you. As he's staring at her ass. And then his character is basically that sexually repressed nerdy dude that you might see in any other movie that as soon as a woman says, okay, let's go for it, he freaks out.
Which he did. Because Brad was like, oh, okay, well, let's go. He's like, huh, what? I'm sleepy. I got a headache. I can't do that. Okay, well, we way back. Okay, we skip in Tim Robinson.
He's like the Ross character from Friends.
Cool. Gotcha. All right, so...
I'm guessing you didn't watch Friends, you
said. I watched a couple episodes. I mean, I can't... I don't know. Well, I know their names, but who was Ross? Was Ross the...
He was the scientist.
No, for Friends. Ross was, not Matt. Was it Matt LeBlanc?
No.
It was...
I don't know. David Schwimmer.
Schwimmer, okay. All right. The giraffe the giraffe in Madagascar. I just know him as a giraffe. The giraffe? Oh, yeah. The giraffe, yeah. That dude, yeah. all right. So Beverly
has a friend that's a scientist, and they
actually he's an assistant, a lab assistant. We thought he was a scientist, but actually a lab assistant.
So Beverly takes Howard to the museum to meet her friend who she thinks is a scientist but is really a lab assistant.
Played by Tim Robbins.
And he basically goes to all of his science friends to figure out theories on how Howard got to Earth.
Right. And this is where the exposition that we understand the plot of, you know, the whole thing kicks in, where he's like, oh, you know, instead of monkeys, imagine on another planet, you know, there were ducks that was like the start of the evolutionary ladder. Yeah.
Right.
So, and pretty much that's like the big exposition of like, you know.
Although I didn't feel like they needed that scene. Who cares?
I didn't, but I guess they felt like for the people that's watching a movie that needs some kind of explanation.
About evolution?
Yeah.
No. There's so many things. So many. Anyways.
Yeah.
So Tim Robbins goes to some of his scientist friends, and one of those is Dr. Walter Jennings, played by Jeffrey Jones.
Rest in peace. He's dead, right?
I don't know, but Jeffrey Jones is basically, in my mind, all I could think of when I was watching him was he's the evil scientist from Real Genius. Or no, from Weird Science. No, Real Genius. Yeah, with Val Kilmer.
He was in there?
I'm pretty sure.
I always think of him as Ed Rooney from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh,
I mean, that's the only way, all I know him from Weird Science.
He's not dead.
Oh, he's not? Okay, cool. No, well, unrest in peace. I'm glad you're still alive.
You know what? Maybe you're right. He was For some reason,
I had... I think you got him mixed up with...
I did totally get him mixed up with someone else.
Dick Thornburg from Die Hard.
Yeah.
Because he was in Real Genius.
Yeah, I totally was getting him mixed up with him. Yes.
Richard Thornburg. Yeah, but no.
I mean, pale white dudes. I mean, come on. Easy to get all of the... I'm sorry.
So how do you get these mixed up?
I'm just... All of the pale white dudes in my mind look the same. Sorry, guys.
Pale white dudes of the 80s.
Yeah. They play kind of the evil...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Evil pale white dudes from the 80s.
Good times. They were typecast.
Who's the guy in Pretty in Pink that's also in The Blacklist that I'm blanking on his brain?
Right? Spader?
Spader. He's the only pale white dude that played the evil character from the 80s.
He
just stands out. He's not...
He's bad.
Like in Lesson Zero, he was bad, he doesn't look like all the other guys. So.
Right. Even in Mannequin, he was like a baddie.
Right.
He was a nerdy baddie, but he was still a baddie.
Yeah. So they meet Dr. Walter Jenning,
mm-hmm.
and he admits that he created this giant laser that they were shooting out into space, and it must have hit Howard's planet, and Howard is transport, and that's how Howard was transported
here
back to Earth,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to run it again while all the planets are aligned, and when they run it a second time, they miss Howard's planet and hit the demon planet.
The evil dark overlord.
Dark overlord. Yeah. Planet of imprisoned dark overlords. Yes. And one of them is transported back before they can send Howard back to his planet.
Mm-hmm.
And that dark overlord takes over Dr. Jenning's body.
And that's how they can materialize. They have to come. Okay, think of Alien. You know, like it have to be in our bodies first to materialize, and then they take us and transform us into a dark lord.
Right. So it looked like Sigourney Weaver's character from Ghostbusters with the, like, all the lasers zooming out of her.
Yes. Yes.
And his face, like, she transforms into not scary. She just has crazy hair. Before they
turn into dogs.
Right. But his face gets a little, like,
it
goes a little zombie-esque face
makeup. I mean, he was, like, the shining star of this movie.
Oh, yeah, no, he was the best part of the movie.
He was all like, I'm gonna take over the planet. Right, yeah.
It was,
need more energy.
The Exorcist meets Sigourney Weaver's character.
The gatekeeper.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you get a lot of references in this movie. Yeah. You know,
honestly, just fast forward to the diner scene.
It was like a sushi diner or something. That was hilarious. That scene was pretty funny.
It was
I forget the name of that diner.
It was like barbecue sushi. Sushi,
yeah. I guess it was a barbecue place, but then
it was like, taken over, yeah.
Like a sushi restaurant. It was pretty funny. And then Howard the Duck freaks out because the special involved fried eggs.
Right.
And he was like,
I'm not a cannibal.
Exactly. It's like, what's around? And reminds me of my birthday. It's the eggs. Get them out of here.
But ultimately, what ends up happening is Dr. Jenning kidnaps Beverly.
Because
he needs more hosts for more of the demon overlords to come to Earth and take over Earth and kill all the humans. And so he kidnaps Beverly. They go back to the science lab.
Mm-hmm.
And then a big fight ensues.
But not before. Okay, now this is... I never paid attention to this scene until I recently watched it. And I said to myself, why is this even in this movie? Okay, they found that little airplane.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And around a diner. Like, where the hell?
Right.
Alley warehouse. Where the hell is this?
I mean, in my mind as a child, I was like, of course, in the country, everyone has
these little two-seater
planes that you put together with a lawnmower engine type thing. It doesn't matter. That was what stuck in your brain?
Yeah.
Not the fact that who called the cops to the space lab when after the experiment went wrong and they arrested the duck and they tried to strip him of his clothes and they kept touching him in all of his naughty places and they're like, he doesn't unzip.
Yeah, like, oh, it's like it's Velcro to him, old captain.
Or the fact that there's an entire, like, 10-minute scene where he's going around, he gets a job, and no one notices that he's a duck or questions that he's at the unemployment office.
Yeah, well, and the black girl was like, I don't care who you are. Right. I'll get you a job. Okay, cool.
Just,
So
many.
Yeah, a lot. I mean, but the plane, that plane sequence, I couldn't wrap my head around. Okay, I'm willing to go with you on some.
So the, I have to say that the plane sequence actually had some really nice special stunts in it.
Oh yeah, whoever piloted that little lawnmower plane was pretty damn good.
Not just piloting it, but the guy hanging out down from it, playing Tim Robbins when Robbins was like knocked off the seat and was falling in the water. He's like upside down from the little lawnmower airplane.
Yeah. I mean, I like the sequence, but how we got to that sequence is the question mark.
Well, so many question marks in the movie.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
The franchise that we all know and love and pump billions of dollars. Who would have thought this movie is the seed?
That started it all. This is just so ridiculous.
Man. See, maybe all the MCU fans should have like a Howard the Duck Day. You know, it's like, hey.
To honor where it all came from. Yeah. Let's rewrite history and say that this movie never came out. Mm-hmm. And say that Blade started the MCU universe. Mm-hmm. I'm much more on into having a Blade celebration party.
Yeah.
It can be like the rave. Oh, no. With all the blood coming out. Right,
but it just be die. Or just red wine. I mean, we could just like drink it, you know, if it comes down. Like, right. Red wine.
It can be like punch. Not.
Wine looks more like, you know.
But it will be red, so it's like blood, but then it has booze in it, so I can drink it.
But damn, punch would be like too sweet and sticky.
And blood isn't.
But we're not drinking blood.
But we're recreating the first scene in the movie.
Well, we'll just be like some thin red wine that's like, if it dries up, it's like, oh, okay, I'm good. Anyway, but that's for the Blade celebration.
Sidebar about Blade.
Yeah. But, oh yeah, no disrespect to the movie that started it all, which is Howard the Duck.
Ugh. It's...
Also, in the end, Howard uses his
kung fu, his duck fu.
No, it's the whatchamacallit? It's the gun. In the lab, it's a gun.
Oh right, because the lab that was creating the laser was also creating weapons,
right?
And they created a giant gun.
It's a neutron disintegrator. So Howard the Duck needed a neutron disintegrator to
kill the Dark Overlord.
But if he... All right, so here's the dramatic crossroad of this film, gentlemen. Okay, this is what he must decide. You know, if he destroyed Overlord, if he destroyed the laser, then he can't go back home, gentlemen.
Oh, but he's in love with this humanoid, the human that is Beverly.
So do we choose home or his love?
Well, obviously, I'm sure in my mind on his planet, he was a total loser. So the fact that he has a chick that's totally into him, why would he leave that?
You got Lorraine McFly.
Yeah.
Please, I stay on Earth.
Right.
Hey, Lorraine Baines McFly, you know, Biff was trying to get with that over the decades. I mean, what did that tell you? So he chose love. He killed the Overlord.
Save Earth. Choose love. Mm-hmm. Destroyed the laser beam and the Overlord.
Yeah, and now he's a manager of his girls' group.
Of a rock band.
Of a rock band. Of the
Cherry Bombs. Went from performing at a tiny little biker bar to performing in a stadium.
And that's when we hear the first time.
I feel like that song was played on the radio a lot.
It was.
In 86, the summer of 86.
It was.
Maybe because that song was played so often is why I thought I liked the movie as a kid. But I didn't, like, I don't remember it being as bad as it was. Don't watch it, guys.
In closing.
Yeah. It's definitely a crash and burn type movie.
Yeah, no, I would not give Turbulence to this one. Definitely a crash and burn.
Oh boy.
It is funny. It's a disappointment given.
Sit and watch it with your kids and be like, see, this is, well, your teenager kids. Yeah. See, this was the crap we had to watch when we were kids. You should be happy that the MC universe is actually good now.
Exactly. See what we had to sit through back in 86.
Oh boy.
Your brats.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
kids are lucky.
Oh, yeah. It's so lucky. Yeah, we had to sit through Aunt Rudy turning into Dana and
what?
Not Dana, the gatekeeper.
Gatekeeper.
Aunt Rudy turning into the gatekeeper and then Doug Boobs. I think that's what kind of had me like, oh, this movie is weird.
Yeah.
And I don't think I wasn't ready, nor did I ever want to see Doug Boobs. Like, why is there Doug Boobs in this movie?
See, as an adult, all I was thinking was, how is he actually going to have sex with a female human? Based on what I know about bird anatomy and how they actually fornicate.
Well, I figure if there's, like, human boobs on a duck woman, I'm assuming that there's male type genitalia on the male ducks.
Okay, good.
All right, okay. But I don't even want to think that deep into this movie, so right. Sorry.
And I was telling Yusuf and Chris before we started that I had revisionist history of this movie, that I remembered a post credit scene where Howard got pregnant, and that was a whole like beginning of a new storyline, and that did not happen in the movie.
Please, God, so. No.
There's no post-credits scene in this movie, luckily.
Yeah, this is before, yeah. It was no post-credits scenes in the 80s. Or maybe. I don't know. I got to research that.
I feel like there had to be.
Oh, it was a post-credits scene in Masters of the Universe.
Well, see, there you go.
Yeah, I had to think about that. Yeah, it was.
Was there a pregnant duck in that?
No, not a pregnant duck, nor a pregnant Skeletor. No, even though that would have been pretty cool.
I don't know where I got the pregnant duck from.
I don't know.
Like, seriously, last night when I was watching it, I fast-forwarded through all the credits so I could go to the end.
That's
I was like,
it.
Where was it? Why do I remember this?
So, in your head movies, there were...
Right. In my head, they had sex and somehow... Her egg traveled into his body. I don't know. I was a very confused child, apparently.
Yeah. That's interesting. Maybe that's a director's cut that you probably...
Maybe I'm going to...
Yeah. That's a director's cut.
Maybe there's a different movie out there where some duck gets pregnant and it's humanoid.
Ugh. I don't want to see that movie at all. Yeah, but they get a...
Autocorrect changes duck to fuck on my phone, just so in case.
That's a worry.
Just in case you guys were wondering.
You use a lot of the way you text people.
Not just when I'm texting.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. Just to start off.
So just Googling, there's no movies out there with a pregnant duck. Instead, I got what movies should I watch during pregnancy. So
that's not Howard the Duck.
That's not Howard the Duck. Yeah. Okay. Well, now we know that.
Yes. All right. So that was Howard the Duck. I'm glad we powered through this one. And now you guys know.
Now you guys don't have to go back and relive your childhood and watch this movie.
Yeah, it's 1986. There's so many other movies in 86.
Yeah, why did we decide to review this?
Because of the Marvel Week.
Oh.
Yeah. So it makes sense.
Now we know.
So you guys are going to get Endgame, but when it all started, we drop into the review on the movie that started it all.
Thank God it got better.
Yes, thank God. Hey, cool. So where can they find us?
We are on Facebook, our favorite place to be. And then you can email us at inflightentertainment2018@gmail.com and let us know if there's any movies out there that you'd like us to review that are old school. If you have any reviews, any thoughts on any movies, why don't you send those to us and we can cover them in future episodes.
Yeah, definitely. And thanks again for listening to all our all of our new listeners, old listeners. Thank you so much. We appreciate the support. We're going to continue to give you some more awesome reviews. Until then, enjoy your Friday, which is tomorrow.
And enjoy Endgame this weekend.
Yes, yes. No spoilers, guys. Don't be that guy or gal. Please don't be those people.
And we won't review it for a couple weeks.
So exactly.
We won't spoil it.
Yeah, don't spoil it, guys. Don't do that. Don't be them. Okay, be good.
Whatever.
Be like the captain. Don't be a-holes. Anyway,
if you don't want spoilers, then you just have to shut off all media.
Yeah, that's true.
It's on you. If spoilers piss you off, then you should not be going on to any social network, or turning on the TV or the radio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. I mean, but
read a book.
I mean, but there's like the weekend, okay? Like you get like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, okay? Like,
that's all right, fine.
So, all right. But like you said, the rest of it is on you if you decide to go on Twitter or whatever. It's mm-hmm. like, yeah, at your own risk. But yes, you get a grace period of that weekend. So
yeah. I feel like Howard the Duck. This is one of those Marvel things where the book was better than the movie.
agreed. All right, well.
Until next time.
Until next time. Signing off from Planet Earth, not Planet Duckville. We wish you safe travels and
peace.